Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we thank you tonight for the attitude of the saints of God. We just pray right now. I pray over them, Father, that our attitude will be like your attitude. I pray tonight, Father, that you will use us to your glory, that you will let us, Father, represent you throughout the whole world. Thank you, Father, for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Gospel of John, but the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 1. So follow along with me in your Bible. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Notice this in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, glorious and wonderful person, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let's read that text again. Notice this. That which was from the beginning, Jesus was from the beginning, which we have heard. Well, they heard Jesus. Which we have seen with our eyes. Now, these people actually seen Jesus, which we have looked upon. They looked upon Jesus. And then it goes on and says, and our hands have handled of the word of life. They touched him. And Jesus is the word of life. And in 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, that which we have seen, there that is again, and heard, declare we unto you. They not only seen Jesus, they not only heard Jesus, but they declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. We can have fellowship. And truly our fellowship, notice this, is with the Father. We can have fellowship with God the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the Son of God. We can have fellowship with God the Son, Jesus. We can have fellowship with God the Holy Spirit. And we can have fellowship with other Christians. Verse 4 says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Did you know God wants us to have joy that is made full? He wants us to have joy, which is the fruit of the Spirit. He wants us to have joy and it be full of glory. Now notice the word from the beginning in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. 10 things concerning Jesus Christ there. From the beginning in 1 John 1, 1. And in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it talks about the divinity, the humanity, and the work of Jesus Christ. It says, in the beginning was the Word. So in the very beginning was the Word, which is Jesus, and the Word was with God. Jesus is the Word, and the Word was with God the Father. And the Word was God, proving the divinity of Christ. The same was in the beginning with God. The same was in the very beginning with God the Father. And from everlasting. And Micah chapter 5 verses 1 and 2, it talks about the birth of Christ. He said, now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. And thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose voice hath been from of old, from everlasting. Notice that Jesus is from everlasting. He is everlasting. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but unto the Son he saith, that's talking about Jesus, thy throne, talking about the throne of Jesus, O God, it calls Jesus God, is forever and ever. Jesus is forever and ever. And his throne is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. We are in his kingdom because of the finished work of the cross of Calvary. Number two, we have heard him with our ears, they said, in 1 John 1, 1. Number three, it says, we have seen him with our eyes, also in 1 John 1, 1. And number four, it says, our hands have handled him. So they've handled Jesus, according to 1 John 1, 1. Number five, he is the Word of life. Jesus is the Word of life. Not only is he the Word of life, but he is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. According to John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is not just one of many ways. There's only one way to God the Father. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through the blood of Jesus, through the blood of the cross of Calvary, the truth. There's only one truth, and that's Jesus. And notice this, and the life. He is the Word of life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't get to God the Father unless you go through the blood of the cross of Jesus. And number six, we bear witness of this light. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 2 says, for the light was manifested, and we have seen it, talking about Jesus, and bear witness. They bear witness of Jesus and show unto you that eternal life. Jesus is eternal life, which was with the Father. Eternal life. Jesus was with the Father and was manifested or made known unto us. We bear witness of this life. Number seven, he is that eternal life, according to 1 John 1, 2. Number eight, he is not the Father. Jesus is not the Father. He's separate from the Father, but in unity with the Father, but was with him from all eternity, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 2. And in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 again, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The, notice this, verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. Notice that, but was with him from all eternity. And number 9, he was manifested to us, talking about Jesus. Number 10, we declare him to you for two reasons. Number 1 reason is that you may have fellowship with us and with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, died, went into the lower parts of the earth, and on the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead. So we could have fellowship with the Father, we could have fellowship with the Son, we could have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and we could have fellowship with other Christians, because Adam and Eve partook of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, and they were separated from God, but Jesus came so we could have fellowship back with our Heavenly Father. Jesus, he redeemed us. He ransomed us with his redeeming blood. And number 2, that your joy may be full. That is the will of God, that you live in joy. Not only have joy, but that your joy may be full. And he said, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have absolute certainty of the reality of what we proclaim. We have actuality, heard, seen, and touched him. He said, we live with him daily for years. We heard his teaching and saw his divine works. You could read all about this in the epistles, the first epistle of John, the second epistle of John, and the third epistle of John. John also wrote the Gospel of John. John also wrote the book of Revelation, and John knew about the love of Christ. Well, you've heard the word of God today. I love you. Jesus loves you. And I'm going to turn it back over to my brother.
Thank you, brother, for the message. Wonderful.
Amazing love.
Tonight we want to talk about men. Men are the foundation of the family. He's over the universe. He has placed man over the house. There is not a co-leader in the house. There is only one leader in the house, and that is the man. The woman is the helpmate. Her job is to allow her husband to serve her, to teach her, to lead her. And his job is to do as chief of the church. And not only that, he has to give himself first to his wife, then his family. He must operate like God operates in heaven. Jesus said, "Let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So man is the head of the house, and he has the duty to bring heaven into his home. He must establish the kingdom of God in his house. He must speak under divine influence. He must proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in his house. He must cover his home like a pastor. He must teach his family the words of God, the principles of God. In other words, he should not send his family to church. He should take them to church. He should be the primary teacher in his home. He should be the primary pastor over his house. He is in charge of his home. The Bible says a man that does not know how to rule his house cannot rule the church of God. So your wife should have trust in you. You should be faithful to her, and she should know that. Then you can do the things of God. She should be able to hear God as you speak. She ought to be able to say, "I heard God this morning," simply because of the teaching of her husband, simply because of the words of love and kindness he speaks into her life. When I think about this all, everything that a man desires, everything that a man needs is in his wife. But his responsibility, just like the farmer, everything that the farmer needs to get a crop is already in the soil. Everything is in the soil. So he must water the soil when he plants the seed. His responsibility is to plant the seed. And as he plants the seed, he begins to water that seed. And the ground will produce multitudes of harvest. In other words, when a man plants seed into his wife, she begins to give him a multitude of blessings. All of those blessings to encourage him, to bring him to a completion. Her job is to complete us. So as we minister to our wives in love and kindness and began to lift them up, they began to bring us the benefits we need, not only sexually. In other words, sexually is just a small part of what the woman is about. She's more than just sex. She is an encourager. She's a nurturer. She's a housekeeper. In other words, where a husband is lacking, she can pick up the slack. Most of our women are working hard because there are no men around. But I want you to know you need that woman as well as she needs you to speak life into her. When we look at Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 21st verse, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband and to the Lord. The pastor of the church is not the primary head over the wife. Her husband is the primary head over her. It is his job to make sure his family knows the word of God. It is his job to mentor his wife first, mentor his family. It is his job to bring his wife into joy and peace. By the way, he speaks to her. Not being loud and condescending, not putting her down, but building her up. Even when she wakes up in the mornings with all of her hair over her head and all kinds of smells and odors, then he must build her up and call her the first-class woman. You are the Rolls Royce woman, even though she don't look like you. But he is an encourager. And when she gets through bathing and putting on all kinds of things to satisfy him, to make him look good, then he began to enjoy those benefits. That's what this is about. It's about enjoying heaven on earth. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So I'm in charge of bringing my wife up spiritually and physically. I'm in charge of bringing her to a successful life. I put her in a place to be successful. That's what this is about. It is putting your family in a place to be successful. Your children, you ought to be the hero of your children. They ought to feel good about being around you. They ought to have discipline because you are not only whipping them, but you are training them with love. Amen. Training them with love and respect and honor, where they see you as someone who is teaching them how to be a man, how to be a woman, how should a woman be treated by her husband. Well, I can tell you the greatest example you can have is the way you treat their mama. So if you treat their mama with great respect and honor, then I can tell you, you will win your children over. They will have the greatest message in the world, the greatest teaching in the world, when they see a man treating his wife like a queen, treating her like a Rolls Royce woman, a first-class woman, then he will have the respect of his sons. He will have the respect of his daughter. She will want a man like her father. And the boys would want a mother like their daddy's got. And they start learning how to speak life into those women. They began to create the woman they want by the way they speak to her. In other words, it don't matter about the condition of the woman. It does matter about the words that are spoken to her. So she will know that she's first class. She's more than a conqueror through the Lord Jesus Christ. We must tell them how wonderful they are. We must tell them how much we love them, how much we care about them. And I pray today that you will be one of those people who will touch the lives of your family, that your family will know who God is by looking at you. Your daughter, as a woman, will know who she is by looking at her mother, the peace on her mother because her father speaks life into her mother. And I know that once you start speaking life into her, she began to blossom. That rose that was shut down began to open up unto that man. He began to see a glorious woman, a mighty woman, goes out of her way to look good for her husband because she knows he's her head and she wants to submit to him. She don't have to submit. She wants to submit to him because she loves him, because she learned how to love him by the seeds of love that he has put in her. She learned how to respect him by the seeds of respect that he put in her. She learns how to honor him by the seeds of honor that he puts inside of her. And I pray tonight that we will have men who will step up and be that breadwinner, not only for the physical, but for the spiritual life. So when we can love God back because of the love he planted in our heart, as we were saying about a man planting that love, that kindness, that meekness, all of the fruit of the Spirit inside of his wife, she began to bring him a heart. As God planted a seed in our lives, now he is the one we love because it's his love that teaches us how to love. It is the love of a man teaches a woman how to love. And I pray today that you will know that God loves you. Notice what he says here in verse 24 of Ephesians 5. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So, it's your job as a man to create the kind of woman you want. How are you going to lead her? You should lead her like a lion and treat her like a lamb. You should roar, protect her from the demonic forces. It is your job. It says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without finish. So ought husbands to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. Praise God. It is our job to love our wife. Be willing to give your life. Be willing to die for her. Die to your desires. Die to what you would want. And come alive to what she wants. Speak life into her. Speak to her, not around her, not over her head. Make sure you are teaching her about love by the way you love her. And it says right here in 26 that he might sanctify. You're setting your wife apart. You're letting the world know this is my woman, and I'm concerned about her. I want her to grow. I cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, a glorious wife. Because of what you're doing, she has learned how to be. She has learned how to be victorious because of you, because how you treat her. She began to be a good mother. She began to treat your children with great respect and honor and love because you placed love inside of her. That love came from you, your connection with her. And so she's able to love the children the same. And they will learn how to be responsible adults. They will learn how to love their spouses. And if they're a man, how to rule over their house with love. And if there are young ladies, be able to submit to that leadership of that man. encourage him, pull him up when he's down with your love. It is very important that we understand this, brothers, that we are the keepers of our ladies. We are the keeper of our children. So let us be mindful of how we treat them, that we treat them with honor and glory and mercy. They are our women. Verse 27 says, now let's look at that again, that he might present it to himself. This is Jesus in the church. Not a wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. So we can tell how much you love your wife by how she is treated, how she dressed. Is there fear in her, or is there confidence and boldness inside of her? What are you putting in your wife? What are you speaking in your wife? Do she feel less or more? What do she feel like when she comes in your presence? Father, tonight, we ask that you will speak to our hearts, that we might know you, that we might be able to treat our women like you treat the church. I pray tonight, Lord, that you will touch us in every way, that we might touch the world in the same way. Thank you, Father, for everything that you have done for us, how you have redeemed us from the curse of the law, how you have blessed us, good word. May God richly bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Good night.